I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Is to get Trump, to stop him from running. It's part of the same campaign, because if he's convicted here, they're now going to move to disqualify him off the ballot on the ground that the 14th Amendment has been invoked because he's been convicted of a crime relating to revolution, rebellion, etc. under the 14th Amendment. So it's all part of a political effort to try to stop him from running. It's against democracy. Look, the New York Times had a headline the other day saying, if to improve democracy, get rid of elections. And the thrust of the article is, we have to get rid of elections because Trump might get elected. And it's more important to stop Trump than it is to have elections in America, due process, equal protection, and the rule of law.
What do you think about that idea? If you're fearful Trump's going to be reelected, just no more elections. We'll just coronate Biden and make him king. And if he, and when he done, I'm not looking for him to die, I'm not wishing that upon him, but whenever that happens, the successor would be his son? Is that where we're headed? The words you were hearing then from Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz. He says he's never voted for Trump, but he says what they're doing here, their attitude. And he reads that piece from the paper, the New York Times, that editorial, that maybe we just quit having elections. Are we going to get to that point? Seriously? Here we are, August 25, 2023, hour two of Larry Connors USA. Video of the show, of course, streaming at Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter. Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. Yesterday, of course, late in the evening, Trump shows up, gets booked into the Fulton County Jail, gets processed, gets his mugshot taken, and then he gets in his jet and leaves. And the leftists were loving it. And even some Republicans probably enjoying it. It didn't help some Republicans who were on that stage the other night. They were still trying to get some traction, attention off of their comments. All of their efforts got shot down with that one mugshot. But Alan Dershowitz said, when you look at this case and the stuff they have filed, and he's talking about just in Georgia, he said the prosecutor is not looking at crime.
The strategy is to get a quick trial, get him convicted in jurisdictions that are overwhelmingly anti-Trump, and then not worry about it being reversed on appeal because the reversals on appeal will occur after the election. It's clearly a political ploy, especially since the district attorney now says she wants the trial within 2 months. It's unthinkable. Never in history has there been a trial within 2 months of a case as complex and difficult as this with so many defendants and so many counts. But what she wants is the mugshot. She's gotten that, the fingerprinting. She would like to get a quick conviction with a biased jury and then not worry about it being reversed on appeal. That's tomorrow's news after the election. That's just unfair.
Unfair and basically not likely to happen. Before I take you to that next step of what Dershowitz has to say about that, I'm already seeing the leftists go crazy saying, Donald Trump is trying to raise defense money by putting his mugshot onto coffee mugs, on caps, on T-shirts, sweatshirts, maybe a banner if you want to hang it on your house. And they're incensed that he's trying to make money on that. They're not mentioning that at the same time, Joe Biden and the DNC sent out notices, this is a good time to give the Biden campaign. So they're trying to capitalize on it as well. But Dershowitz said, the prosecutor, if you recall, was talking about she wanted to have all this done in March. And now one of the defendants is trying to break off and say, I want a speedy trial under the Georgia law. I get to have one in October. Alan Dershowitz.
There are 19 defendants, which means probably 60 or so lawyers. You have to get the trial schedules of all the lawyers set, and it's just not going to be possible. She says she wants to try them all together. You can't have your cake and eat it. You can't try them all together and at the same time try the case in 2 months or 4 months or 6 months. This trial will be broken up into numerous, numerous sub-trials, and that will be a tremendous advantage to the defense. Now, the first motion that's going to be decided is whether or not this case can be tried in state court against people who were employees of the federal government, including Donald Trump, including Mark Meadows. They are moving on Monday, or at least Meadows is on Monday, to have the trial transferred to federal court. That will get a completely new schedule.
And that, of course, just means more delay and stretching things out. It's not going to be done in the time frame that she said, and she knew it. She knew there was no way. But as you heard Dershowitz say in the beginning, they really don't want to have everything wrapped before the election except a conviction. If they can get a conviction, they'll go with that, because then the appeal will be in process while the voting is underway. And in Georgia, Fulton County, Atlanta, deep, deep blue, they might well be able to get it out of a jury. Doesn't mean it will be a fair ruling. And that's why there may be a move to try to move it to federal level. And if so, then that's going to put more delay into it. Greg Jarrett is the legal analyst for Fox News. He said, all of this is based on invalid charges.
Proving a criminal state of mind means that the district attorney has to prove that Donald Trump was aware that what he was doing was unlawful. Everything we know about his conduct leading up to the certification of electors is that he thought he was availing himself properly of the legal process. And Exhibit A, and this is the most exculpatory for the president, is his conversation with the Secretary of State in Georgia, in which he is complaining about ballot irregularities, faulty machines, valid votes that aren't being counted, invalid votes that are being counted, election laws that are being violated, petitions that are being ignored. And in the end, he is demanding a recount and a review, which, by the way, Brad Raffensperger has a duty to do. So he's asking him, do your duty.
So that is one of the complaints Fannie Willis used to indict Trump, saying she was trying to pressure Raffensperger. He was trying to get her to manufacture votes, to create votes. That wasn't at all part of the conversation. When you hear her complaints and her indictment, that is what's fabricated. Again, back to Jarrett as he appeared with Sean Hannity.
Fannie Willis has misrepresented and lied in an earlier filing about what Donald Trump said, claiming he said, you need to find 11,780 votes. But that's not what he said. Read the transcript or listen to the conversation.
It is a long transcript.
Right.
In that transcript, at times he's talking about there are hundreds of thousands of votes that you guys got wrong.
He is saying, I need to find that many votes because that is my vote deficit. Well, every losing candidate says that, which is why they ask for reviews, recalculations, and recounts. It's perfectly lawful. It is not criminal intent.
Not criminal intent, simply to say, I need one more vote to close the gap, and then we win the state. And if Trump believed that it existed, he said, find it. He didn't say create it. Didn't say go out and destroy some others. Find it. I'm looking at a piece that appeared as an opinion on the CNN page from a guy who is from the William S. Boyd School of Law, University of Nevada, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, specializing in constitutional law. He also serves as a Democrat in the Nevada Assembly. And he and another author wrote this piece talking about Donald Trump's surrender on charges of racketeering, forgery, false statements, and so forth. And they say Trump allegedly violated the law on many occasions, and it's essential to bring Trump to justice for his assault on the electoral process. They forgot to add, if he did it. They do add this, and this is interesting that CNN and NN did not strike it from the editorial. But prosecutors should not stretch criminal laws in ways that would be unfair to Trump and would open the door to unwarranted prosecutions of others. And yet that is what the Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis is doing in Georgia, especially with her indictment of the former president under the Racketeer Influence Corrupt Organizations Act, RICO. And again, the writer of those remarks is a professor at the William S. Boyd School of Law, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, where he specializes in constitutional law. We heard the same thing previously from Alan Dershowitz the other day. You can't do this. There's nothing here that would give this validity. And the other thing that's been in play that I wanted to raise the other day, but so many things were hitting us, and those of you who live in the St. Louis area, St. Louis City in particular, in dealing with Kim Gardner and how crimes were being prosecuted or not being prosecuted, Fannie Willis, the prosecutor in Atlanta, had been spending 2.5 years on this. What about all the other crime and cases that were happening in Atlanta and Fulton County? I guess were they pushed aside? Well, that is what Congresswoman Green of Georgia believes. She says the DA is failing.
This is a devastating day for America. Georgia is embarrassed and ashamed of this Fulton County DA that's abusing her office to go after and arrest the president, the former president of the United States, which is Joe Biden's top political opponent. And I'll tell you right now, in the state of Georgia, I met with GEMA last week. This is a statistic that everyone needs to understand. In the state of Georgia, a child is sold for sex. A child is sold for sex over 7,200 times every single month. But here, this disgrace of an attorney, the Fulton County DA, Fannie Willis, is abusing her power to go after and arrest Trump. She's not using her power of prosecution to go after child sex traffickers, go after gang members that are linked to the Mexican cartels. She's not doing this to go after murderers. We have the same murder rate as Chicago. This is an embarrassment.
What she was after was a mugshot. And Alan Dershowitz said, she got that.
Utterly unnecessary to do a mugshot. The purpose of a mugshot is to make sure the person doesn't escape anonymously. He is the most photographed person in the world today. This was just part of the political process. Now, both sides are politicizing it. Trump is using it to raise money. The other side is using it to try to win re-election. That's not what criminal justice in America is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about one standard of justice for all, and it should not be used against people who are running against the incumbent president during the election campaign. There'd be plenty of time to try this case after the election was over, but that's not the purpose.
Not the purpose. So, question, in the not-too-distant future, could Joe Biden have to pose for a mugshot?
I have seen so many SARS reports, the amount of money that it was exchanged with some of these countries to the Biden family, even their grandchildren. I mean, I want the American people to see everything that I've seen. And when we're back in session in a couple of weeks, I hope that we just continue to have a vigorous investigation. And I'm not asking America to trust Congress, trust the evidence that comes out of this thing. I have seen things that would blow your mind in terms of the amount of money exchanged. And Biden's office has been a revolving door for his son, his family's businesses. It's pay to play. There's a lot of alleged money laundering going on here. And I wish the American people, I hope that they're going to get to see everything that we've seen on Oversight Committee, and they can connect the dots themselves. They're smart enough to do it. Joe Biden ought to probably have a mugshot when this thing is said and done. And I want the American people to see all the evidence that we have.
And it may well happen. And Saul Weisenberg, a former deputy assistant independent counsel, was on Fox, and he got questioned about some of the evidence we've already seen.
Here's an email from April of 2010 from Hunter Biden to his business associate, Mark Doyle, in which he says, how about we go over around May 10th? JRB, which we assume is Joe R. Biden, will be in Madrid, and I can catch a ride with him and fly over to Serbia and back with you. That obtained exclusively by Fox News Digital. I mean, is that evidence there, Saul, to your mind, that he was using Air Force Two like a private airline?
It sure seems like it. Again, there's a lot of what you can do in Washington if you're part of the political class or a family member of a politician that unfortunately is not illegal. But it's definitely part of the picture. And look, this is something that our own government officials in the Obama administration were concerned about. The diplomat, I think his name was George Kent, in the Ukraine, he raised concerns about it. And basically, nobody could talk to Joe Biden about it. He'd apparently get upset when you talk about him. There's an official high in the Energy Department they both raised the concern that, wait a minute, we've got an anti-corruption message that we're trying to purvey in the Ukraine, and we've got the vice president's son working for the most corrupt company. So that's a problem.
It is a problem. And we've got documentation that shows Hunter Biden traveled with Daddy on Air Force Two to 13 different countries. So Larry Kudlow was asking a question to Missouri Congressman Jason Smith about all of these flights Hunter was on.
Hunter is flying around the world with his dad and doing business deals. You're investigating. Congressman, how close are you to proving the president being directly involved in these business deals?
You know, it's pretty disappointing, Stuart, and it's not that hard to connect the dots. You see, more than $20 million has went to the Biden family and its affiliates, and it's solely because of the perception of influence that Hunter and other members of the Biden family have with the president of the United States, including where several individuals has came forward saying that they had the president on speakerphones talking to their business associates. It's so disturbing.
It is disturbing. But you're not going to see any of that on the leftist state-controlled media. They're going to ignore it, and they're focusing, and now they've got a good reason. Look at Trump. Look at Trump. Look at Trump. And the others around him. What happened yesterday gives them another opportunity, another day, to move away from the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden story. But it's not going to go away. This program is going to make sure it stays front and center as well. I'll cover the issues against Trump, but we're also going to make sure you get the other side regarding Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. I've got more on that to come before we wrap up this hour for you. But before that, I told you yesterday how the American Medical Association is talking about putting a womb into transgender men, and also how the CDC is already pushing maybe for masking and more vaccinations because of a new COVID strain. Dr. Randy Tobler joins us. Lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Feel spirit moving, brother. I ain't slept in days, all without
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Of course, if you listen to this station any at all, you know the name, Dr. Randy Tobler, host of his own program that airs right here on Saturday mornings from 6 to 9 a.m. I often catch it, and I'm sure you do as well. Dr. Tobler, 30-plus years as an OBGYN and host of the Randy Tobler Show. Glad to have you on board with us, sir.
Hey, it's a real privilege. Great to talk with you, Larry.
So let's get to this issue that suddenly there seems to be, and this should come as no surprise, a new strain of COVID, and a lot of people are saying, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, we're going to have to mask up. Some schools are already talking about it, forcing vaccinations. Let's get your take.
Look, I think that we've come to a resolution of how to handle COVID until proven otherwise, any of the new variants that come around. And there's a couple of them now that are circulating in Western democracies, the cases in the United States. I think there's a new one in South Africa. So this is beginning to act an awful lot like, well, the common cold, which is basically a coronavirus. So it's distant relative to the COVID or influenza. I think that's maybe the way folks should think about that. You know, these strains mutate, and COVID is a particular this particular virus just continues to mutate rapidly. And the genetic difference between the new strains as compared with the previous strain that caused the last surge is about the same in matter of magnitude of difference as, let's say, the original Delta that then jumped to the Omicron, right? And so or Omicron. So the idea is that these things are mutating so rapidly, Larry, that the existing immunity on the one hand that we may have from a natural infection, plus or minus a vaccine for those that got vaccinated, is probably less and less relevant as time goes on. As, you know, the virus mutates, it becomes less recognizable by our trained immune systems. Now, the good news, that sounds like bad news, right? It's like, holy cow, it's like, are we immunologically naked now and exposed and at risk?
It sounds like it's going to become forever.
Well, I think it's going to become forever, but probably no more forever than the influenza is. Right. And remember, influenza is nothing to take lightly. I mean, in a relatively bad year, it's like 50, 60,000 people in America die with, you know, directly related to an influenza infection. And the good news, though, about the coronavirus, the SARS virus, the COVID virus, is that like all viruses that we've seen up till now with respiratory component like this, they tend to get milder over time. I mean, from their standpoint, from the virus's perspective, think about it. You don't want to be so darn effective at what you do if you're a virus that you kill off all the hosts, because you depend on the human machinery to replicate yourself. So if you kill all the hosts, you're not going to live very long. You'll be out of machinery to reproduce yourself.
But you're talking all science. You're talking science, and Dr. Fake was talking, saying, believe the science, live with the science, and then admitted, one, well, the mask won't really help anyway. Oh, well, you might need them. We'll get the vaccine. That's the jab. No, you might need the booster. Then do the mask, and, I mean, the question is, for many, are we going to be seeing control agents pushed on us by various government officials?
The answer is yes. And I think, on the other hand, we shouldn't discard every bit of information. We need to be discerning, critically thinking, sentient human beings that in every other way of our life, whether it's putting a new roof on your house or which tire am I going to put on my car? We make decisions, right? And based on information. And so I think the kind of information that I gave is the general consensus of people I respect and historically true with regard to these kinds of viruses. And so that means, look, during influenza season, Randy Tobler masked when it was ripping through our community. And I was taking care of patients because, A, I didn't want to get a virus. And B, I wanted to be able to continue to take care of patients. So, you know, I mean, there
well,
is
what about
a place
the, what about
and a
dealing,
time.
What about the dealing with the mandates and then closing businesses down, shutting schools down again, go back to Zoom learning. And then on top of that, vaccinating children who are less susceptible and less likely to have an issue.
I think given what we know of the current mechanism of action of these vaccines and how they are now just not able to keep up with the current strain coming around as much as we'd like, that I think the utility of the current vaccines is going to be limited. Not that there's zero target audience that it might not be appropriate for instance, elderly people, obese people, people with pre-existing severe respiratory, you know, you can go down the line.
Sure.
That said, mass, one size fits all, masking, immunization, isolation, those kind of mandates, I pray to God, I really do, Larry, that this is a thing of the past and the government isn't going to reproduce those tyrannical mistakes that they made previously.
Well, everyone I've talked to says, I'm not going to do it. I will refuse to do it this time. Now, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I say you make your own decision for you and your family. Same thing with a mask. But I'm already hearing an uproar from, and the undercurrent is growing, I will not be held hostage by this government again, mainly because we've lost trust in the institutions we should be able to rely on.
And that's a shame, because I think that that's going to sadly lead to, I think, a mistrust of what is generally, at least mostly, useful information. I mean, you know, if the government says, look, based on our data, and I believe most government scientists, not the high-profile people, but I believe most government scientists working at the front lines level are good people acting in good faith. It's the government types and the bureaucratic types and the power-hungry, ambitious types that overreach when they take a piece of information.
Right.
Sometimes with the aid of the media, no doubt.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. You're right. And I think we just have to, you know, I think there's going to be, boy, I tell you, it's going to be a clash of the people versus the government if the government overreaches on this one.
Dr. Randy Tobler joining us. He is the host of the Randy Tobler Show on Saturday mornings, 6 to 9 right here on News Talk STL. I'd mentioned you're an OBGYN. I've got a couple of questions there. First of all, regarding the vaccines that were last developed for the last one, they said they were not going to be good, should not be administered to children under 6 months of age, and yet they were allowing pregnant women and encouraging pregnant women to get. The child she's carrying is under 6 months of age. How do they justify that?
Yeah, well, we didn't believe that really crossed the placenta. It rather created a reaction in the mom that would then, the antibodies would cross the placenta and, you know, create, you know, the help for the baby.
Well, how does that compare to when you tell a woman, don't do drugs, don't do alcohol, don't even do caffeine?
Well, we do recommend influenza vaccines for women because, for instance, women are one of the very high risk groups because that baby sort of crowds out the lungs, especially as the pregnancy advances. And for a number of reasons, women are much higher risk of having complications, grave complications from the influenza vaccine that if they weren't pregnant, that same woman would not have near the magnitude of risk. And so we recommend the influenza vaccine for pregnant women.
All right, let me move to the next subject. Just the other day, the American Medical Association is basically endorsing, for transgender men who want to have a baby, we can implant a womb.
I was waiting for a question, but I think you're looking for a reaction. And here's the point. Maybe you can rationalize for a woman who's had cervical or uterine cancer and had to have a hysterectomy and wants to try to be a pioneer and have a uterine transplant. I guess that's fine. Look, at financial sacrifice to myself, I had a disability plan through the AMA. I am no longer a member of the AMA because the AMA has gone woke and sold out our profession's ability to be autonomous patient advocates and instead has become a woke essential agency of the government. I understand that the largest, margin that the AMA makes is through their CPT coding that, where everyone has to have a code for every service that you do. And so I don't know, I can't comment except to say I shake my head when I see what's happening with professional organizations that claim to be advocates for patients. I mean, it has gone insane, Larry.
Well, to that extent, I fully agree with you, but someone born male, transgenders to quote a woman, they don't have a womb, but they say, but if you give me a womb, I'll be able to have a baby. Could that feasibly work inside the male body?
I can only imagine a scenario with some unbelievable Star Wars and Star Trekian kind of hormonal manipulation, not to mention the anatomic difficulties,
right.
The difficulty around not only implanting the womb, but having the womb be prepared for the implantation of a pregnancy created outside the uterus. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that is utopian on the one hand, it's Orwellian on the other. And I think it's sort of demonic, excuse me, but I think
agree.
It's just demonic.
I would agree.
There's something terribly wrong with humanity if we're going in this direction.
But they're also suggesting it could be paid by the American taxpayer.
Now you got me fired up, man. Now you have me fired up, brother. I mean, I don't care what people do with their private funds, but don't hold me accountable to pay for this insanity. I'm not going there.
Well, the other thing is, In the last 30 seconds, when they see the seal of the AMA endorsing it, oh, that must be a good idea. Let's go do that.
I think the seal of the AMA doesn't have the same integrity that the seal of the AMA had before COVID, and probably even long before that as well. Sadly, they've lost a lot of the luster on that seal.
Yeah, unfortunately. Dr. Tobler, as always, thank you for your time, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks, Larry.
You bet. Dr. Randy Tobler. Has his own program here Saturday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Always fascinating and dealing not only with medicine and the issues we talked about, but he's got some very direct and most candid views when it comes to politics. If you haven't caught the program, you should. I'm sure many of you have. Coming up, a new report that indicates the Chinese Communist Party is putting more money into public school programs. Stand by. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis. A place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. Allen, OutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I was born in the rain on the Ponce train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane. They come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hot, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her, it takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I have a story that occurred earlier. We're just coming out about it. And that is that we had a couple of NORAD spotted some activity that raised suspicion near President Biden as he continues vacationing. And Lake Tahoe, the friend of his, a multi-billionaire, the same one he stayed with apparently before he went to Maui, first California and then Maui, and spent time in Maui telling them about, you know, I had a comparable situation. I had a fire in my house in the kitchen. He's told that story so many times, and every time it gets more and more embellished, talking about how his wife barely escaped, the house burned down. It did not burn down. It was a kitchen fire and was out in 20 minutes. But NORAD dispatched two North American Aerospace Defense Command F-16 fighter jets and a U.S. Coast Guard Dolphin, a civilian aircraft violated that temporary flight restriction near where the president and first lady are vacationing. Now, again, wherever the president goes, they put up a no-fly zone for a period of time, and you're not allowed to breach that area. Obviously, there's one all the time over the White House, even if the president's not there, but they still try to make sure that no one gets inside. It's still not clear, in this case, who had the plane and what was happening. May have strayed into it by accident. Pilots, before they take off, are supposed to check for any what we call NOTAMs, notice to airmen, about anything that might have changed along their route. Normally, there would not be a restricted area over that part of Lake Tahoe, but with the president in place, you better double-check your flight route if there's any NOTAM to tell you, stay out. So the president continues staying at this time, at apparently renting a home from the former presidential candidate and environmental activist Tom Steyer. They say they're paying a fair market value for the nine-day vacation following the trip to Maui. How many days of vacation is this president going to take? I could care less on one hand, and yet this other time, I mean, when he's in office, what's he doing anyway? I don't know that he's doing anything more. You know, it just dawned on me the other day. If someone would go to him and shake hands and say, Mr. President, what a great campaign. What a great 8 years you had. You can go on home now. He might well just walk out the door and go home. Except Jill would say, no, we got another 4 years, maybe. But I'm not so sure that he's not at the point now, and it's unfortunate, that he doesn't know if he's done 1 year, 3 years, or 8 years. All right, I'd mentioned going into the break, there's a new report. This is from the Parents Defending Education. And it's picked up and repeated in the Federalist that the Chinese Communist Party is putting more money into several public school programs that since 2009, nearly $18 million of communist Chinese funding went to school programs across a total of 34 states and D.C. I'm trying to see if this has a list of all the states on it. This particular report doesn't, but I do know that some went to New York, and I'm sure the others also went to blue states, and they were probably not being advised it's communist Chinese money. We all know they've had the Confucius Institute, previously serving as a recruiter for the Chinese government programs and helping the Communist Party get control over American teaching programs. That's been underway for some time. Well, they released a report admitting, quote, Confucius Institutes have become a vital force for international cooperation under the Belt and Road Initiative. That's the infrastructure project the Communist Chinese developed to further its global influence. The U.S. has no official role in that program, but China is using it to try to broaden its horizon and obviously take anything they can. Yet at the same time, Christopher Arps and I were talking about this yesterday. He wrote a piece for Newsmax talking about how China has become a paper tiger because they're not as strong as they used to be. That is true in many ways. Their economy is going south in a hurry. About 20%+ of the young people have no jobs. Those who would be eligible for jobs, they don't have a job. And when those reports began to come out detailing that, you know how the Chinese Communist Party took care of it? They didn't create jobs. They simply said, stop the reporting. Stop the presses. We don't want any more information like that. And so when Chinese communist areas, there will be no more reports on unemployment until they get it where they want it. And then there are other issues regarding China and its economy. They have One, they've had the one-child policy, as you know, for a long time. They have an ancient population, not that many young to begin with, fewer babies. They have numerous still unfinished office buildings in various cities. They don't have any real infrastructure for those buildings, much less jobs for them to go to. And when they're trying to get them to come off the farm to go to the city, you're going to have something to build from there. They don't have that option. And they don't have any method at this time to create anything. So for all of its daring and in-your-face attacks from Premier Xi and his focus on acquiring Taiwan, they're suffering. Now, when I say they, we're not talking about the hierarchy, obviously. We're talking about the people of China. When that begins to happen, there is a possibility of an uprising. But it will come at a cost of numerous lives if they even try it. But in part, that's the story of the fall of the Soviet Union. China knows the history, so they're not going to simply ignore it. But at this time, they cannot turn things around, not immediately. Governor Hochul of New York State has a letter that's been sent to her by seven members of the House of Representatives from New York. And they want to know what kind of communist money is being put into our school systems in this state. In New York State, apparently at least a dozen schools are included in getting money from the Chinese Communist Party. A dozen public schools. Now, that doesn't sound big, does it? But from little seeds, mighty acorns do grow. Or oak trees, I should point out, not the acorns. One of the congressmen raising questions about this is Congressman Brandon Williams, New York District 22. He's a state representative. I said, no, he is in the House. Let me correct that. But he wants to know about legislation in the 118th Congress that he introduced, Stop Funding Our Adversaries Act of 2023. So what are you doing to comply with this? That's something he introduced. It's still to be passed all the way through, but he introduced it, and he said, the legislation strengthens protection on America's shores. It bans American taxpayer dollars from funding any research with China's Communist Party, and in fact, it has been passed through. And he wants to know, what are you doing? He said, this is not a partisan issue. It's a pervasive issue. They're estimating now that the Confucius Institute still has shop in about 140 active and inactive school districts, including, and this is the part where it gets really delicate for Americans, including 20 military bases around the nation. We're already seeing states begin to take a second look at land suddenly being bought up. Who's buying it? Sometimes they've got a straw purchaser. When you dig into it, you find out it's money coming from China. And they seem to be buying farmland close to military facilities. Why would that be? You know what the reason is. Which brings me back to the fact that NORAD was alerted to a civilian aircraft crossing near Lake Tahoe, where President and Mrs. Biden are staying. Is an aircraft. I have a question. I have a question. What would they have done if it were a balloon? Would they have done anything? All right, let's go back to the Trump Georgia indictment.
Proving a criminal state of mind means that the district attorney has to prove that Donald Trump was aware that what he was doing was unlawful. Everything we know about his conduct leading up to the certification of electors is that he thought he was availing himself properly of the legal process. And Exhibit A, and this is the most exculpatory for the president, is his conversation with the Secretary of State in Georgia, in which he is complaining about ballot irregularities, faulty machines, valid votes that aren't being counted, invalid votes that are being counted, election laws that are being violated, petitions that are being ignored, and in the end, he is demanding a recount and a review, which, by the way, Brad Raffensperger has a duty to do. So he's asking him, do your duty.
That's Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. Reference the indictment against Trump, for which he showed up yesterday, booked, fingerprinted, mugshot, which has now become a great campaign force for him, and having to post $200,000 bail, chump change for him. And you impose a bail because you want to ensure that the defendant returns to stand trial. Don't flee the country. He's got his jet. He certainly could. But Trump's not going to run. The mugshot and the bail imposition were more the theatrics of the prosecutor in Georgia. She spent 2.5 years working on this. She probably could have had it done within a year, year and a half. Why wait? Well, you know why they wait. It's all about timing. And she wanted to have the trials wrapped up right before Super Tuesday of the general election. Now one of the defendants is going to separate off and wants a speedy trial under Georgia state law and the trial to be held in October. And now she's saying we're going to do it in October, but some of the judges, or one judge has indicated no way. And others, the other defendants could say, I want a different day. And she was apparently going to try, in her words, all of them at one time, which is stupid on its face value. But again, back to Greg Jarrett, legal analyst, and he said what Fannie Willis has been trying to do, trying to find something illegal, and as he was discussing with Sean Hannity, it ain't there.
Fannie Willis has misrepresented and lied in an earlier filing about what Donald Trump said, claiming he said, you need to find 11,780 votes. But that's not what he said. Read the transcript or listen to the conversation.
It is a long transcript.
Right.
In that transcript, at times he's talking about there are hundreds of thousands of votes that you guys got wrong.
Right. He is saying, I need to find that many votes because that is my vote deficit. Well, every losing candidate says that, which is why they ask for reviews, recalculations, and recounts. It's perfectly lawful. It is not criminal intent.
It is not criminal intent. And yet, I'm looking at another piece that we've had from a couple of legal professors that argue the 14th Amendment to the Constitution would disqualify Trump from federal office if he can be found guilty before we get to the election. Others are saying that's just a legal argument in theory that he will be constitutionally disqualified. The 14th Amendment, passed in 1868, ratified. It is one of the pillars during the Reconstruction period. And Section 3 deals with treatment of former state and federal officials and their allies who had taken sides with the Confederacy in the Civil War. You see what a great reach they have put in place trying to make Trump ineligible? The game is on. Thank you as always for joining us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.